Sonnenfeld from the case.
That's not expensive, that jewelry.
$60.
In Israel?
No, I got it in America.
Yeah, so we were talking about the phenomenon of boldness when a person is, bulimia is connected to that word, where a person is stricken by an... Samach Aleph and Beis, we're already...
Two dots?
Yeah, the two dots, yeah. Where a person is seized by an uncontrollable hunger, and if they don't taste the food, they could, chas v'shalom, die. So it brings a ma'isa, Ahu Roma, there was a Roman, Damrlo v'hayisisa, mincivously. He asked a woman, marry me. He wants to marry her. Amrele, lo. She said no. So Azel Aisi Rimni Pali, he went and he brought split pomegranates. So it's not even a cooked food. The Achal Kama, and he would eat these pomegranates, these luscious fruits, in front of her. And Pol Maya Ditsarila, and when she generated saliva that was irritating her mouth, the saliva from the food, balase, she would swallow it, because it was not polite to spit, velo havla, and he did not give it to her, ad de zogla, until she became so emaciated, that zog means like a solution of glass, that her her neck became translucent. Lesof amarla, he then told her, Imasina lach, if I give this to you, mincivously, will you marry me? Meaning, I'll give it to you if you marry me. Amrolei in, she said, yep, I'll do it. Azal Aisi Rimni Pali, he went and he brought split pomegranates, Vyachol Kama, and then he told her the following. Kol Maya Ditsari lach, any of the saliva that comes because of your tsar, because of your hunger, instead of swallowing it, tuf, spit it out, shadoi, throw it away, meaning eliminate it from your mouth and you'll have less suffering. Tuf, shadoi, she spat it, adinafka mine kihutsa yarka, and it came out like a green, hutsa are the leaves of a lulav, the green leaves of a date palm, viasias, and she was cured by this. Okay.
What about just giving her the food to eat? Wouldn't that cure her also?
Yeah, well, there are two different things. In other words, that would prevent... In other words, what he did was he did two things. He can give her the food that would cure her. Well, but that wouldn't eliminate the accumulation of poison or toxin in her body. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Aisa Batsemer, that the one of the things a husband can make his wife do is to produce woolen yarn, which can be sold in the shuk. So there's a bit of a diuk. Why does the Mishnah say semer and not pishtim? Right, you're not allowed to mix woolen linen, but you can do linen alone. So why does it say semer and not pishtim? So the Gemara says, masnis and mani, who does our Mishnah go like? Rabbi Yehudahi, the Sanya, Eino kofe lo lama lifnei aviv lo lama lifnei rabbi lo lifnei haben lifnei teven lifnei behemtai. Right, certain things a husband cannot demand. He cannot demand that she serve his father, meaning she has obligations to work in the household for him, but she can't say, go to my father and take care of him. Again, you have to understand, obviously, the world of absolute halacha and the world of how a person should behave is sometimes a little different, meaning avada and the meshlechia relationship, each one will care for their parents, for the other parents, and they'll be shalom. But in terms of legal rights, the husband cannot demand that she be mishamesh his father, below lama lefnei benai, and certainly not to be mishamesh his son, let's say her stepson from an earlier marriage. And he cannot be mechayefer to feed his animals. If he has livestock, she does not have to feed the animals. Avo, kofa, now behemta is a behemadaka. This is a sheep or a goat. Avo kofa litein tevin lufnei bakara. But if it's cattle, he could force her. Now, Rashi says the chiluk between bakor and son is... Yeah, actually, Rashi says what Rashi says. I'm sorry, Rashi gives a different translation. That behema is not sheep or goat, But behema is sus v'chamor. So it's really a non-kosher animal. A horse or a donkey. Shehein mizuyanim v'tsayalim l'revia. So this is a bit of a peculiar idea. And that is, they are sexually aroused by a human female. And chas v'shalom, there could be revia. There could be bestiality. The animal might attack her to rape her. And the like. So therefore she is not mechuyev to feed the sus and the chamor, but she is mechuyev to feed the animals, the cow and the sheep and the goat, because they are not so easily aroused. Now this is a very unusual translation, in fact. I mean, in the context Rashi learns this way, but it's very unusual that the chiluk between behema and bakor, that behema would mean sus. And chamor, normally behema would mean a behema daka. But that's the chiluk that we make. Kaifa li chain tevin lefei bakarei, Rav Yehuda Eimer. And this is the part that our Mishnah is following. Af eino kaifa lasais bepishtan. She is not mechuyeves to be isaic in flax or a linen. Mivnei shepishtan masriach esapeh. Dealing with flax, it can cause bad breath. Umisharveit es asfasayim, and it scratches. Right? Now again, this may not be true with the linen, but certainly when you're making flax, and when you have flax and you're trying to spin it into thread, so there are sharp protrusions. Like if you rub your hand on a flax plant, it'll get scratched. And apparently when they would have to take out the threads from the flax plant, they would have to use their teeth, and this would scratch up the lips. And as a result, he cannot make his wife do that type of work, because it scratches her lips. And that's why our Mishnah says semer and not pishtim. But then the Gemara says, hanimili bekisna ramah. This is only true with Roman flax. Again, that's a type of flax that had sharp edges. It would not apply to other types of flax that don't have those sharp edges. Okay. Then Rabbi Eliezer said that even if she brings 100 maidservants, he is mechayev her to do some work, because batala can cause either depression, or batala can cause zanus. This the Gemara says, Amar Rav Malchiyo, the name is very important here, Rav Malchiyo, the Amora said, Amar Rav Adabar Abba, halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer, that he could be mechayev her to work. And on this, it says the following, Amar Rabbi Chanina Berei de Rav Ika. Because again, there are two Amoraim. One is called Malchiyo, and one is called Malchiya. And he wants to remind us which halachos were said by which, so you'll keep that in mind. And it says, three halachos, Shavud, Shavachot, Vegumos, Rav Malchiyo, Beluris, Efer, Makla, Ugavina, Rav Malchiya. That three halachas were said by Rav Malchiyo. Now, the middle one is the one that's our Gemara, Shvachos, the din, that the halachas like Rabbi Eliezer was said by Rav Malchiyai. And the two others are Shvud and Gumais. So Shvud is a spitz that you roast meat. And there is a Shaila, if a spit got bent and you want to fix it on Yom Tov, are you allowed to fix it? Now, on one hand, fixing a shvud, you know, straightening it out, is a malacha of tikkun kli, making a kli, that is makeh b'patish. On the other hand, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do malachas ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do work for food preparation. So the question is fixing the spit, and technically it's called machshirei ochel nefesh, meaning it's not the actual food preparation, it's a preliminary. So the machlokas is, can you be masakin? So Rav Malchiyo said that we paskin, like the Mandiamar in the Mishnah that says, machshirei ochel nefesh, that you could have done before Yom Tov, you cannot do on Yom Tov. So the nafkamina would be the following. If the shvud got bent before Yom Tov, you would not be allowed to fix it on Yom Tov, because you could have done that before Yom Tov. If on the other, that's called machshirei ochel nefesh, she'efshar la'saisan me'erev Yom Tov. As opposed to cooking, as opposed to ochel nefesh itself, ochel nefesh itself, we say, is permitted even if I could have done it before. Meaning I can cook on Yom Tov.
only because it supposedly tastes better.
Yeah, that's really the svara. So the svara is because in Eichel Nefesh, it'll always be better if it's fresh. I mean, that is the svara. So that's why they say, even in Eichel Nefesh, a davar that mamish will be the same, you should not make any object. L'chatchila. But by machshirin, it's also mi'ikir adin to be misakein a machshir that you could have fixed me'er of yamtiv. So that din was said in the name of Rav Malchio as well. And gumais are like indentations. We know that the definition of when is a man a gadol or a woman a gadola is not only the age of 13 or 12, but technically there have to be two hairs. Either two hairs under the arm or two hairs in the pubic region. And the only reason we don't check every bar mitzvah kid when he davens for the yomad is we're seimich on the chazaka that most kids when they reach 13 have the shtei siris. We don't have to do a check, but it's brought down that you're only seimich on the chazaka for a mitzvah drabana, like chazaras hashatz, kriyas haTorah. But for a mitzvah diaraisa, tekiyas shefer, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and maybe Parshas Zohar, depending on the different shitas, Parshas Parah, bar mitzvah boy should not lane unless, you know, he's already shaving or, you know there are going to be Cyrus. Mm-hmm. Now, what if we check a kid and we see gumos, we see like holes where there would be follicles, but we don't have actual hairs? So Rav Malchio said, if there are gumos, that indicates that there were hairs and the hairs fell out, and he's still going to be a gadol, right? So these three dinim were said by Rav Malchio. Now, what other three dinim were said by Rav Malchia? Buluris, Efer Machla, Ugavina. Now, Buluris was part of the Roman haircut style in which they would shave their skulls, but they would leave, not a ponytail per se, but a big bunch of hair coming out of the middle of the head.
And it would then,
well, it wasn't, again, I'm not sure, Rashi seems to describe it a little differently. Maybe it was a mohawk sacket, but Rashi described it as kind of a ponytail, but instead of from the back of the head, it came from the middle of the head, and then it would hang over. And this was a method of taglachas, that they did in honor of Avodah Zarah, which is kind of like a tribute to whatever particular god they were worshipping. So state that if I'm a Jewish barber and the guy comes in and says, give me the Buluris cut, I'm mechuyev not to do the whole thing, because otherwise I'm kind of preparing him for idolatry. So I'm mechuyev to stop three fingers away from that tuft, meaning I can cut, but I have to leave three fingers of hair on the sides, so I don't make the whole Buluris cut. Of course, that would probably mean, I don't know why the guy is going to go to the Jewish barber if that's the type of, if that's not the haircut that he wants. But that way, you're not machshir him li'avei dezora. That was Rav Malchia. That's one halacha. The next halacha is Efer Matla. We know that there is a din called Ksuvas Kaka. You're not allowed to tattoo. Right? Tattoo is an Isser D'Araisa. So Al Samara Zion, it says if a person has a maka, a scratch, an infection, so one of the ways they would treat it, maybe it's like cauterization today, they would put hot ashes on the place of the maka. Maybe that would cauterize it or sterilize it. But he says it's usher to do that because, number one, the hot ashes itself looks like a tattoo. And number two, I'm not exactly sure. Is it because the ashes look, that's what Rashi's mantra, the ashes look like a tattoo, or the burn, maybe the resulting burn looks like a tattoo. But either way, the chaschili, you're not allowed to do that. And the third is gavina. There is a din that the cheese that is made by non-Jews, not just the milk, even if the milk is Chol of Yisrael, but if the cheese is made by a non-Jew, you're not allowed to eat the cheese. And there are many, many reasons that are given. But the reason that Rav Malchio gave was really what you might call a local reason. It may not apply today. That is, in the time of the Mishnah, the goyim would be machlik. They would make the cheese shine, have a sheen, by rubbing shuman chazir on it. Mm-hmm. So that's a local reason. I mean, we have another reason because they're maimed. They cause the cheese to congeal with non-kosher milk, or rennet, actually, which would still be a problem. But okay. So these three halachas were said by Rav Malchiya. Now that is how Rabbi Hanina determined the halachas. But Rav Papa gives a different criterion, and the Gemara will give you the nafkamina. Masnisin umasnisa Rav Malchiya. Any statement that is explaining a Mishnah or a Braisa is Rav Malchiya. Shvachas is an example, right? Our Mishnah says even if there's 100 Shvachas, you have to have, she has to work. So Rav Malchiya said the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. That's going back on the Mishnah. So anything that's a Mishnah or a Braisa, Rav Malchiya is explaining. Shmaisasa, if it is a freestanding Amoraic statement, that is Rav Malchiyo. The Simanach, and the way to remember this test is Masnisa Malkisa. And that is kind of royalty. Masnisa. Mishnayos and Braisos are the king and the queen, or the queen. Now the Gemara says, Mai Beinayu, what would the difference be in the listing? Because the listing of the first listing more or less corresponds to this. So it says, Ika Beinayu Shvachas. Who said the statement of Shvachas? Because like this. Like the first Mandiyamar, Shvachas was the statement of Rav Malchiyo. But like the second Mandiyamar, anything to do with a Mishnah or a Braisa is Rav Malchiya. Therefore, like the second Mandiyamar, Shvachais was said by Rav Malchiya, as opposed to the first Mandiyamar, it was said by Rav Malchiya. Right? That's the nafkamina between the two listings. Okay. Now then, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? Why can he force his wife to do some work even if she has 100 shvachais? Because he said, batala mevia lideshima, that non-activity brings a person to kind of a depression. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, batala brings a person to promiscuity. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama, what's the difference, what the reason is? They both say she has to work. So Ika Beinayu, a nafkamina would be Dimitalala Bigurayaisa Kutnaisa Vinadashir. She spends her day playing with small dogs or playing Nardashir. Now Nardashir is a game, some say it's chess, actually. Meaning like this. If the issue is I could force her to work because otherwise she goes crazy with nothing to do. So if she has hobbies, even if they're just recreational hobbies, she's playing with dogs or she plays chess, I can't make her work because she's not going to go crazy with boredom because she's doing something. But if it's because of Zima, so Rashi explains, this type of recreational activity, which she's not really economically doing anything, but just having a good time, hagam that it prevents her from getting bored, it could still come lidei Zima. And therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that he could still force her, even if she has hobbies that keep her busy, he could force her to do some economic activity. Okay. So Nardashir is a Persian word. And it's interesting that, in fact, Rashi says the word Ishkakish. Yeah, some say that actually means chess. Okay. All right, now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamadir is Ishta Mitatka Shamita. Again, he's not supposed to do this. One of the chiyuvim of a husband to a wife is, of course, onar. But he makes a vow that effectively prohibits him from having relations with his wife. Now, technically, the Gemara here doesn't discuss it. Technically, in order for such a neder to be chal, it has to be made in a certain lashon. He has to say, the pleasure I get, the husband gets, from tashmish with you, is forbidden to me. He can answer the pleasure he gets on him, but he cannot say the pleasure of my tashmish is usher to you. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, the reason is because since he is meshubad to give her that pleasure, he does not own it to be able to usher. Technically it's ein adam meiser davar shein or shalom. I cannot usher something that doesn't belong to me. The hana'ah I give her belongs to her. I cannot aser it. But I can aser the hana'ah that she would give to me. Mimela, that's going to have the effect. We can't have tashmish. So assuming he makes the neder in the correct way, the question is, at what point can she say, you're not keeping your responsibilities as a husband, I want a get, and I get a ksuva? Right? How long can he put her through this, and then she could demand a get and a ksuva? So we have a machlekes. Beishamai Imrim Shtei Shabbosais. The most he could put on her is abstention for 2 weeks, and that she has to grin and bear it. But if the abstention, if the abstinence is going to be for more than 2 weeks, she has the right. Now, it doesn't mean she's going to do it, but she has the right to demand a divorce. Beisilalimrim, Shabbosachas. Even 1 week is the maximum, and we'll see, the Gemara will give the limudim for each thing. That if the forced abstinence is for more than 1 week, this is obviously talking about when she is a tahora, she can demand a get. Okay. Now, based on this, the Mishnah now switches to a general discussion about the mitzvah of ona, and that is, in the absence of some agreement, how often does the husband have a responsibility of relations with his wife? So it mentions hatalmidim. Those who are going out of town to learn in yeshiva, and they often have to leave their families, yaitzin l'talmid Torah shelo v'rishus shleishim yayim. They are allowed to absent themselves from their wives for up to 1 month, meaning they have to come home at least once a month, but they could go away. Now again, Rabbi Akiva, which by the way, we're going to bring the story of Rabbi Akiva, went away for 12 years, but that was obviously with the not only the rishus of his wife, but his wife made him, but she told him to go. But shalom rishus, you have to come home every 30 days. Hapayalim, Shabbos achas. Now, if you are a laborer, you can go away for a whole week, which actually means you have to return every Shabbos. And that is, now what is the Einam Urbatari normally if you don't have to go out of town? So we say, Hatayalim, if you're a guy who doesn't have to work, you're living off your investments, and you simply walk around, b'chol yayim, the wife has the right to say, kol yayim, why not? Hapayalim, workers who don't have to go away for overnight trips, shtayim b'shabbos, these are physical laborers, twice a week. Hachamarim, donkey drivers, achas b'shabbos, because again, they sometimes have to be away overnight. Once a week. Hagamalim, these are camel drivers. Now, camel drivers go on longer trips. Achas l'shloshim yom. Hasafanim, sailors. Achas l'shisha chadashim. Once every 6 months. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Now, the beginning of the Mishnah, now talked about at what point can a woman demand a get with a kesuva because of forcible abstinence because of a neder. So Beis Shammai says she has to bear up to 2 weeks, but no more. So my time to Beis Shammai. Ganrim yoledes nekeva. Because let's look at the times when the Torah requires a woman not to be with a man. And the maximum time is when a woman gives birth to a girl, she is forbidden to be with her husband 2 weeks. See, a normal nida, you have to understand, a normal nida, Medina de Gemara, Medina Torah rather, is only forbidden to be with her husband 7 days, not 12 days, it's only 7 days. Because you don't need Zion Nikim. From the day she starts bleeding, she can go to the mikveh 7 days later. So the maximum abstinence that the Torah makes a woman go through is 2 weeks. So what Beis Shammai is doing is, he is generalizing from the Torah's abstinence to how much can a woman be expected to take. She can be expected to take up to 2 weeks, and that's why she does not have a get claim until the abstinence is more than 2 weeks. We learn out from Yoledes Nekeva, Ubeis Hillel Gamri Yoledes Zocher. Beis Hillel says, no, Why do you look at Yoledes Nekeva? We should look at Yoledes Zachar, where the woman is only forbidden 7 days. So the Gemara asks the obvious kasha. Well, okay, but Yoledes Nekeva is 14 days. Why do you look at the shorter period? Ubeis Hillel Nami Nigmaru Mi Yoledes Nekeva. So the Gemara now reformulates. E Mi Yoledes Gamri Lahachanami. You're right. Beis Hillel is not looking at Yoledes. If we looked at Yoledes, we would look at Yoledes Nekeva, not Zachar. Ela Beis Hillel looks at a regular Nida. But then the question is, okay, now you're still back to square one. Beis Shammai looks at Yoledes Nekeva, that's 2 weeks. Beis Hillel looks at a regular Nida, that is 1 week. Okay, but why doesn't Beis Hillel look at the maximum that the Torah has, which is Yoledes? So the Gemara now explains, for my kamiflagi, mar savar midei deshchiach midei deshchiach. Unfortunately, although it's an aveira, making vows was a fairly common. When people were angry, I mean, it's interesting why most of Klal Yisrael seems to have gone beyond that bad habit. But apparently, in the time of Chazal, there was a bad habit that when people were angry, they would make nedarim. So that's called the midei deshchiach. Now nida is also midei deshchiach because nida happens every month. Yoledes is less frequent. So Beis Hillel basically says, I'm not going to define how much a woman can take on a regular basis from cases which deal with how much she could take on a very sporadic basis. And therefore, I look at nida that happens every month, and I am Adama Nidorim to Nida, because a Midei Deshchiach is from a Midei Deshchiach, things that are common. Umar Savar, however, the reason, and that's why Beis Hillel learns the din of Neder from the din of Yeledes, I'm sorry, not Yeledes, from Nida, because Midei Deshchiach, Midei Deshchiach. Umar Savar, but what does Beis Shammai say? Beis Shammai says, wait a second, Nida is a different problem. Nida is not a problem he caused. Nida is a problem of the cycle of a woman. So what we should compare is, how much can he make her go through? So Yoledes, he makes her go through up to 2 weeks of abstinence by getting her pregnant. So Memela, that's how much he's able to make her go through. So it's not a question of Shechiach, it's a question of what is he allowed to do. Umar Savra Midei Dehu Garim La Mimide Dehu Garim. So let's just read the next two lines and then we'll stop. Amar Rav, Machlekes B'Mefarish. The Machlekes in the Mishnah about the duration of a vow is talking about he made a vow for a specific time. So he asks her for a week. So if he specifies this man, how much time do we say that she has to bear it? Is it 1 week or 2 weeks? Avol Bistam. But if he made an indefinite neder, meaning like this, you don't have to wait a week or two, she does not have to wait a week or 2 weeks if he made a neder with no duration. If he made a neder that is forever, she can demand a get right away without having to wait a week or 2 weeks, because the neder was made for a duration that is beyond the permitted period. So when it's a stop neder without a duration, Divriya kol yotzi li'alter, meaning she has the right to demand to get right away, and she gets a ksuva. But Shmuel argues. Shmuel says, afilu bistam nami. Even if he made a neder that basically says we will never have tashmish again, she still has to wait a week or 2 weeks before she can demand to get. Aye, he made a neder, we'll never have it again. So why does she have to wait? Shema yimsa Pesach l'nidrei. Because just because he made a neder doesn't mean she's going to suffer a week or 2 weeks, because perhaps within the week or within the 2 weeks he will find an opening, meaning he'll go to a basin, go to a chacham, and the chacham will be okay the neder. So just because he made a neder forever does not yet put her through that pain, so she cannot demand to get until she has gone through the maximum pain he is allowed to impose. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. 4:30. 10 o'clock. Today is 10 o'clock.